Hello, my name is Ron, and I go by they, them pronouns. On today's episode, I will be talking to Amano Tiagu, who is involved in the movement around the Songor Salt Lagoon in Ada, Ghana. This podcast was half recorded in Papantla, the Totonacapan, ancient territory of the Totonaca people in what is now colonially known as Mexico. The Totonaca people have worked throughout the centuries to regenerate their cultural heritage through community organization, art, and the preservation of the Totonaca language. The other half was recorded in Ada, where the Dangme people fight to preserve their cultural heritage through community organization, art, and the preservation of the Dangme language. Radio Ada has been a big part of this process. For those who might need a refresher, the communities around the Songor Salt Lagoon have struggled to keep it from privatization, since it has been the source of their livelihood for centuries, and it holds a strong cultural and spiritual value. Radio Ada has been involved in the movement since 1998 as a non-profit community radio station of the Dangme people to promote the language, culture, and traditions of the Dangme people, and to make information much more accessible to the people in their local language. If you wish to find out more about them, I recommend that you check Social Justice Radio's episode on the attack and watch the documentary Protecting Our Heritage by Dominic Chadwick. For today, my focus will be on Amano's personal involvement with Radio Ada and the Songor movement. I am curious to learn how his story connects with the wider political and social context of the community, as well as to listen and note how Amano's stories come together to weave a larger narrative about the importance of Radio Ada. Our conversation happened over Zoom, and it was a little bit chaotic, which is mostly illustrative of the conditions in which he's working in around there. Throughout the call, we faced a bunch of rescheduling because of how he had to respond to unforeseen problems and negotiations with the police in the communities around the Songor. We also faced connectivity issues and eventually a power outage because of a storm. In the end, obviously, the conversation went really well. I learned a lot. I think it was very inspiring to hear Amano. Well, I leave you with the recording so that you can feel it and think about it yourself. Okay, pretty cool. So we can start. Well, I'm really happy to be talking to you today. My first question for you is, how long have you been working at Radio Ada and what do you do there?
I am one of the station's program producers. I'm working with the station for about 9 years now. I am also a newsman. I read, write, and report from the community and also produce programs from the coverage when necessary.
You ever appear on air?
Yes, I also host programs. I host programs on air, health programs, community development programs. Yeah.
Okay. And how did you get to Radio Ada? How did you start this work?
All right. So when I completed my senior high school, I was at home for 3 months. I was looking for a job, and the radio station is close to me. So I decided to come and ask if there is vacancy for new people to start volunteering. When I came, the then station coordinator welcomed me, gave me some few scripts to read. He interviewed me and said I can be a good learner. And so at Radio Ada, you don't need to have the degree, master's before you can volunteer. But if you have those things well enough, if you don't have, but you want to do something to help your community, you are welcome. And so once I had the desire to volunteer for my community development, he appreciated that. And he believes I will learn more on the job. Mm-hmm. So he offered me the opportunity to start. And I start as a news writer. One day, there was a program that I think it was International Mental Health Day celebration, something like that. Yeah. And I was sent to cover that program. I learned so many things from that program. It has also exposed me to understand that mental health is as equal to any disease, and anybody at all is exposed to develop that disease. And so treating people who have that disease with care, passion, and love is treating one's own self in that condition as such. Of course, the good book says, love one another. So I started from there. When I came, the coordinator then asked me to write a report on what has happened. I wrote the news. It was read on air, and he was very happy the way I put the news. So the happiness and the joy for my story being aired on the radio. That day when I got home, I told my mom, the story they are reading now, I wrote it. I went to cover it. In fact, I was so happy that my story has been read on the radio. So that's how I started. The first day I was privileged to read news myself. After 1 month of my study, and how already I have some the language, writing it, reading it, and how to put issues in context and all that, I was given the opportunity to read the news myself. And so I went from there with the written news, and I presented it so well. Become a newsman. And in 2017, I had a chance to become the news coordinator. Before now, I am producing programs, also working on the station's projects on Songo and on child sustainable development goal, the SDG, localizing them for our people to understand and know their role. We are also in that collaboration with Crossing Borders, an NGO based in Denmark. So these are the things I do and when I start.
So you started very young, learning from the shows. I mean, it's very interesting how it's definitely impacting your life and the way that your life is impacting also the work, right? It like goes two ways. And like, when did you, did you get into the Songor Lagoon movement at the same time as you started working with Radio Ada, or did that come later or before?
The Songor. It's... There are communities called Songonya. So communities along the Songo are called Songonya communities. News come from those areas, and we cover it. I had the privilege to cover programs from that community, from those communities on several occasions. The struggle for the Achiapo, where individuals have claimed portions of the Songo Lagoon as their private property. When those struggles were ongoing, I was broadcasting news around that area. The radio station has also been organizing community programs and engagement to understand more what the struggles are, what can be done, what how to change that maintenance of people privatizing the Songo Lagoon. If you have money, then you can own one. If you don't have money, then you will not have the access to the Songo Lagoon. So I have been moving with the radio station to and fro, to from community to community, to engage the people and help the society to shift that norm of only the rich taking over the Songo Lagoon. So I have been engaged since day one. Okay. And of course, you cannot mention Radio Ada without Songo, because this is our this is the culture of the people of Ada. And so anything about Ada, the major livelihood, source of livelihood is the Songo. for the people of Adan, apart from the Songo, they talk about fishing because we have the sea and we have the river also. So these two, fishing and salt winning, are the two major occupations of the people of Adan. Apart from that, then you talk about farming because we also have land. So these three areas of occupation, we cannot take them out of Radio Adan's operation. And any local news we produce is either about these three areas or any other minor area.
Can you tell me of like a project that you engaged in the past that you think is just like, has been a one that has connected with you a lot personally?
Personally, I was involved in a project was initiated by T through Communicate for Health, an NGO, and Ghana Community Radio Network to empower the youths of Adan to decide for themselves what would be good for them and understand the changes and development that goes on in and around them. So, sexually, what does the youth know? Religiously, what do they know? What do they believe? Practically, what is going on? And so we have what we call Happy and Savvy Adolescent Campaign. So they should, growing up myself, I never had a chance to learn about sexual edges. I never had, because in Ghana, sex education is not in the educational curriculum. It is even not done by parents because it is classified as immoral or a taboo,
right,
for a mother or a father to be telling the child about sex and sex life.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of us only grow to try each other. And what we hear people say, we want to also practice and see what it is. That's how come we end up having our first sex. But yeah, we don't actually understand the need, why, when, and how to even do it. We don't even know. The consequences that will come out of that, we don't know. We are just doing it for the fun of it. Sometimes you are playing at the back of your house when it is drawing closer to the night where darkness are forming around, then you want to try it.
Yeah.
But you don't really understand what you are going to do and the implications. Who to even do it with, you don't know. Sometimes you need to force people to do it. During that project, I had a privilege, though I have moved from the adolescent stage to the old adult stage, young adult stage, I have learned a lot that is guiding me. And it's a foundation that is helping me to educate many more youths around me today. Because for the first time, I am hearing that some girls, during our project, we went to the communities, we talked with the adolescents, we engaged them about three communities, and in a focus group discussion, some of the findings that came out was that parents don't buy sanitary pads for their children, their girls. Some of the girls said they don't know about menstruation. Nobody has told them about menstruation. All of a sudden, one day in school, they are sitting and their school uniform is wet with blood. Mm-hmm. In fact, they don't even know what it is. Wow. Do you stand up going for break? Then the boys in the school be laughing at you. Oh, because blood to their panties and in their school uniform. Anytime they are menstruating, they don't go to school, because the guys will laugh at them again. So what they do, because they do not have menstrual sanitary pads, what they use is the cloth. They use cloth and cement bags. It's a paper, cement paper to cover to kind of dress themselves. Cement paper.
Wow.
Some said they use cloth. Mm-hmm. Some said they use their dresses that they don't want to wear again. They will tear it and will use it to cover themselves and to dress themselves. So that is how most of them got to know about menstruation. Indeed, parents were not educating them and were also not ready to help them to be clean during that period. Mm-hmm. And how to maintain hygienic conditions during menstruation. They don't know. The girls don't know. Nobody has told them. The school has also not teach them because it's not in the curriculum. Parents are also not telling them. All you can hear is, okay, during the first experience, your friend will tell you, we call that menstruation. That's how they know it's called menstruation. Some say that it is called period. So your period has come. That's all they know. So some of them also said, most of the girls we talked to at that time, between the ages of 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18, most of them, the ladies especially, broke their virginity out of that experience, which some got pregnant and have become school dropouts. Others, when pregnant, were forced to abort. And that force is out of pressure that you receive from your parents.
I didn't know that Radio Ada engaged in projects beyond the Salt Lagoon. My next question would be, which current projects are you engaging with with Radio Ada?
Well, thank you. I am currently working on a project called Localizing SDG, the Sustainable Development Goals, with partnership from Crossing Borders, an NGO based in Denmark, through the Ghana Community Radio Network. So this project actually started back in 2017. Mm-hmm. And you know, there are 17 goals. All these 17 goals were set up in 2015.
Yeah.
No poverty, zero, good health and quality education, and all that. So the citizens do not really know what these goals are. In 2015, when we started the project, we went to the communities from Azizanya to Aminapa to Angosikope, and we asked the community members, have you heard about something they call sustainable development goals? They said, no. We later came to organize the technocrats, the decentralized government institution heads in the district, like the National Commission for Civic Education Director in the district, the Human Rights and Administrative Justice Director, Shiraj, the Electoral Commission, that which processes in Ghana. We invited all these head of departments in a meeting, brief them about the new project Radio Ada is going to be embarking on, the SDGs. It will surprise you that people will think they are in authority, they have some kind of power as a duty bearer. They do not know about the Sustainable Development Goals back in 2017. Not even the district chief executive, who represents the president in the district, she doesn't know at that time. And so we realized that then there is a need to familiarize our communities with these SDGs. Already these goals are things that are living with the communities, but they don't know how they are called and the new terms that they have been given, and then their role that they will play as community in ensuring that these goals are achieved. And so from 2017 to 2022, we have now come up with an agenda to localize the SDGs and make them familiar with the people to achieve the sustainable development goals. So this is being done, like I mentioned, with the support from Crossing Borders and through the Ghana Community Radio Network.
So it's been all environmental work recently, engaging with politicians, I suppose, and like community leaders and people in the communities so that they can know what is going on with the sustainable development goals.
Yes, that's basically the idea. But this time around, we are not focused on the opinion leaders and politicians. Actually, the target is the youth.
The youth, okay.
Yes, the youth. The youth should, now, you know, social media has come to stay.
Right.
But our youth do not have information. So that when they are sharing information on social media, they know who to like, who not to like, who to befriend, and what groups on Facebook to become a member of. Not just that, all other social media handles. So it's to help the youth to, as part of localizing the SDGs, also digitalize them. Help the youth to share information on these SDGs. What is happening in my community in terms of hardship in living condition is hunger. And so whatever I write on Facebook or on any other social media handle, I should be able to understand what the goals are saying and link them to what I am going to write on social media so that we'll have at least some information about how every community is doing. It was just 2 weeks ago, we ended the workshop in on the 13th of May. We started on the 9th and we ended on the 13th of May in Accra, the capital of Ghana, where participants from all 23 community radio stations were engaged and have been giving capacity building workshop on the social media and digital platforms and how to also train the youth in their various communities. So we have two categories. One that will organize the community and engage the youth in community. Then they discuss these issues of concern to the community. And when discussing, we, the radio station, will also record. But then the youth need some training. So the trainers shop ended on the 13th. We are now preparing to share a day that all radio stations will go to their selected communities and will select the youth force. So that is the first phase. Then the second phase, the youth assembly is a general committee where you have not less than 60 youth in the selected community discussing these goals and how they affect their lives daily and what can be improved, sharing thoughts on these sustainable development goals. So the youth task force will ensure the youth assembly, that is a larger community, functioning, will also come in a way of support them. We don't have a community farmland that the entire community is working on, that at the end of the day, or if somebody has a money, there is available land. So can we talk to our opinion leaders in the as a land where we can start a community garden? So this is one of the examples, but the youth in the various communities can decide which field, which area of the SDG they want to go in. If it is about climate crisis or climate change, what is it that affects the community in terms of climate? How do you, the community, you think that problem can be resolved? So we empower them to own that project and they work on it.
In the final section of the interview, I asked Amaner about the future of ADA, and he gave me a very inspiring response. So I want his words to close with a bang. While you listen to the conclusion, keep in mind everything we talked about. Amaner told us the story of how he got into Radio ADA, speaking to the kindness and openness of the organization to welcome the learning and growth of their volunteers. He told us of the numerous projects Radio ADA has engaged in throughout the years, which respond to the numerous needs of the people of ADA, always concerning themselves with the youth and the future generation of decision makers. Through Amaner's stories, we hear of ADA as a pillar of the community organization and communication, and of Amaner, a man who, from personal interest, chooses to put his 100% effort to the stories he writes, to the communities he reports on, and the conversations he has. Throughout the interview, I felt not only a strong interest in truly responding to the best of his ability, but a passion and a commitment to telling the story and how important it is to the people of ADA. Amaner's stories with Radio ADA are an example of their great work. So if they spoke to you, and you wish to engage further with Radio ADA, you can listen to them on 93.3 FM or check them out on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and I'll leave you with Amaner.
What I'm hearing here is that, like, you personally have always been engaging with the youth, right? Like, you started very young with mental health, then now recently you've been working with the sexual health, engaging the youth, and now engaging the youth in the sustainable development goals. And so my next question then would be, how do you envision the future of Radio ADA, seeing as, you know, you have been engaging with the youth, engaging in community issues, things that are necessary for the community, their quality of life, right? Improve them socially, sexually, emotionally, physically, materially, right? Engaging with the Lagoon. So how do you envision the future of Radio ADA?
Very simple. Radio ADA is rooted in the culture of the people and geared towards sustaining the culture, that is the language, their way of living, their livelihood, and to improve it for even and common development for everyone. And so I believe that going forward, Radio ADA will continue with its already existing relationship with the communities, because we are a community radio. And myself and other volunteers, about 30 of us, are all community members. We live in the community with the people. And so we are also involved. So the life of the community is the life of the radio. And so it's going to continue. So long as there is life, the radio is going to continue to be the mouthpiece of the people. It's going to be the pastor who will ensure that nothing is going to breach the relationship between the two bodies, Radio ADA and the people. You know, when the radio station started way back in 1998, what we used to do has not changed up to date. If I say it does not change, though we have programs that are evolving, we are building on the programs from when we started, like this Song or Issue. This is not the first time. We have been producing programs on the Song or Issue right from the inception of the radio station in 2000. From 1998 up to date, the radio has been talking about Song or, up to date. And so talking about Song or is not a new thing. It's never a new thing. Just like farming, it is not a new thing. You talk about farming, where you have the radio station serving as a medium for the people to get information on agri products on the market. They also have the opportunity to hear the weather condition for their farming, and also for the fishermen to know the weather conditions before they leave for work, either at dawn, in the morning, or in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So that continuous trust for the radio station cannot be taken for granted. For me, and as a radio station, the call we received this morning that the vice president has sent security intelligence team members to meet the Tekpe Biawe, the custodian of the Songo Lagoon area. And the community members decided that our only source of true evidence and the only radio station that bear witness for us that have been digging and bringing out the secret agenda, the secret informations that we are not privy to, let us invite them to be aware of what is going to happen. So that when later the security intelligence team members take photo with us and they go back to Accra, they would even write something that did not happen here. So we can call the radio as an evidence to what they are coming to do. And you know, that trust still continues. We have the language that we are projecting, the language of the people. I have heard on several and countless occasions when people say that if not for Radio Adan, the Dangbe language would have gone missing. Wow. If not for Radio Adan, we will not have local people producing music in their language. We will not have the Dangbe people producing music in their language. We started with one person, and today there are about hundreds of people, majority are the youth now, going into music in their own mother tongue, the Dangbe language. And so it's out of that passion we had to protect and preserve the culture of the Dangbe people. And since day one, we have been speaking only the Dangbe language, and we will continue speaking only the Dangbe language. Nothing can change that. And so once the culture of the people remains and life continues, the radio will not turn down the trust of the people. We as volunteers will not give up on the people because we are the people. We are the affected people. I am the people. Mm-hmm. And so we are part of it. Thank you.